Welcome to PSM, the Professional Services Marketing Podcast. It's insight applied. And now, here's Brad and Scully.
Hello and welcome to PSM. If it's about professional services marketing, we'll be covering it here. I'm Brad Entwistle and this is episode 99 for Friday, September 8, 2017. And Scully is on the other end of the interwebs looking at me through my webcam. How are you, my friend?
Never better, all good. Yes, spring is in the air, they say. Doesn't feel like it, but it is.
All that means is I get hay fever.
This is PSM. It's insight applied.
And so spring is in the air. That means for the Southern Hemisphere, at least, that we start to look towards the end of the year. And frankly, I was a little bit disappointed with our first article. Seven tech trends that will shake up your content marketing in 2018. Now, seriously, mate, we are just at the beginning of September. This article is a few days old. So John Hall had to be writing this while at least it was still August and we're looking forward to 2018. I mean, I know we've done it too, but the rush of articles that make predictions for next year, I mean, seriously, it's September.
It's the first cab off the rank. It could have ended on just seven tech trends that will shake up content marketing, but no, they had to throw in another one in 2018.
Well, all that aside, into what John thinks is going to happen for content marketing in the next year. I mean, I appreciate his view. It's very high level. It's not down and dirty, but he is looking at tech in particular. And the first one is that social will serve as publishing outlets, not just sharing platforms.
Yeah, and it's inevitable. It's an inevitable trend, I feel. And what does that mean to us, apart from being an observer? It means quite a lot, to be honest, because when anything to do with your content that you're producing means that you're going to have to distribute it through these channels. So how are you going to do that? Because it's not just, using the old analogy, buying an audience in the newspaper. It's how do we get shared? How do we get onto the Facebooks, the Instagrams of this world so that their wonderful audiences out there are sharing our wonderful content? So they are publishers. So should you be a publisher. Think of that platform as your old-fashioned news agent's stand to use your content and get it distributed.
His number two tech trend is machine learning will enable content conversations. He makes the point that a brand's success in content marketing really depends on the ability to deliver the right content to the right people at the right time, which is not anything new. That's the same old equation. It's just the technology has not really enabled that. So we've always done the best that we could do. What he's saying now is that the machine learning is going to actually come to the aid of content marketers everywhere and put in that wonderful thing, context. But still, and he quotes another writer here, he says, companies find it hard to have quality conversations at scale and machine learning is going to enable it. What do you think, mate? Do you want to talk to a machine?
We already are. We just don't always realize it. It's the trend. It's happening already. A very useful tool if you can get your head around it, but it can be a bit clunky, but it's definitely just going to get better and more user-friendly. So harness it if you can.
Number three is the rise of virtual and augmented reality will make visual content non-negotiable. So, I mean, this is episode 99 of PSM. I think we're going to have to call the VR AR edition because we're going to be talking about this a lot. It's the thing on everybody's mind at the moment. But I think still to most of us in professional services firms, it really hasn't hit home.
No. And if you don't feel ready to sort of go gung-ho into these technologies just yet, I don't blame you. You know, it can appear intimidating and you can lose a lot of money on this or sink a lot of money, I say lose, without really knowing what necessarily the return could be, but watch it, learn where you can, because it's not just a trend. This is the start of a wave, and it's what's happening now is really going to lay the groundworks for all sorts of experiments in the VR AR world. Augmented reality is a little easier to use in some respects. It's just enhancing the real world as opposed to creating a whole new virtual one. Very interesting trend. And maybe to a degree you can sit and watch, but it's going to be an enjoyable ride, this one.
Number four, he says that advanced tech will make full content personalization a reality And that really, it pointing to things like Amazon and Google, which we know you visit their sites and you're getting really a customized page served to you that nobody else gets because they know about you. And he's saying that that level of tech is the ability to use hyper-specific customer profiles. That tech is becoming more and more available to smaller and smaller enterprises, and the trend is shifting down. And indeed, the research firm Gartner has predicted that by 2018, so next year, businesses that have invested in across-the-board personalization will outsell those that haven't by 20%. Bold claim, Scully.
Yeah, I know. We all forget those things, and don't we, the people who said them. But yeah, they've certainly stuck their neck out.
But bearing in mind, you know, there's definitely a difference between what Gartner's doing there will be taking into account product firms as well as service firms.
100%. It'll be more effective than with the B2B professional services type of marketing. But you know what? Personalization enables you to just really hit home to a bigger audience. So there's no way that you shouldn't be looking at this, because you can multiply the reach of what you're doing with a little bit of technology to assist you. You can reach a much bigger target audience. So have a look at it.
Number five is live video streaming via social will create new content opportunities. Now, this is something that we're already seeing in our work with professional services firms. It's getting talked about a lot more.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great. And traditional social posts are still, they play an important role in any content strategy, of course. Mm. But ignore the live video trend. That's not even a trend, I think, but at your peril, it's only going to get bigger. Mm. I mean, 82% of consumers surveyed for one recent study said they favor live video over other types of social posts. Now, wow, that's extraordinary. But there is something about being in the moment, hearing words of wisdom, streaming it live, the tension of will someone say it wrong, being the first to hear it.
We don't worry about that tension on this podcast. We just say it wrong anyway.
If you've got the news to share, share it and do it live. It brings personality to your brand. It really does. A firm can appear a bit grey from the outside. If you do this well, it can be a really effective tool.
I think that age-old word, authenticity, it brings real connection. And so to number six, mobile optimization will be the standard across industries. Well, we've been preaching this for a long time now, but yet another statistic, 69% of digital media engagement happens on mobile platforms. Personally, I think that number is a little bit low. There's lots of studies in this place, all coming up with different numbers, but the numbers that I'm seeing are well and truly into the 70s and in some industries, even the 80s. So very high. And interestingly, mobile-only internet use is on the rise. So a statistic, another one, 41 million people in the US accessing content exclusively from their mobile devices. So this is a, you know, in the big population of the US, 41 million mightn't sound much, but 41 million people who are only using their mobile device to read content. So our recommendation, optimizing for mobile, well, it's not just a recommendation anymore. It's an absolute requirement. Number seven, artificial intelligence. There it is. It had to happen. Artificial intelligence will begin creating and enhancing content.
It already is, isn't it?
It is. It's just most of the time we don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, certainly a lot of the big publishers are doing it. Associated Press, various other places, they're doing it already, particularly in tailoring different headlines. Anyway, don't worry just yet, fellow content creators. The robot isn't taking over the world yet, but it's going to get bigger. It's going to be a wave of it, but we may not always see it. So it's understanding how we can harness it to really be the most effective way of hitting your audience.
And to news item number two, and this one is five new skills to look for when hiring your next marketing superstar. So this one got our attention because particularly in the professional services marketing space, and particularly for, we know most of our listeners are in that size firm where you might have somebody who is a part-time marketer or shares that role with doing other duties, or indeed you've got one, maybe one and a half marketers in your firm. So we're always looking at what others are thinking about this. We've got some pretty firm views that we've arrived at over time. But what did you think of this article, Scully?
It's great. It's absolutely spot on, because in an ideal world, we'd have a marketing department, not a person or a half a person. We'd have a marketing department with a full-time strategist, content creator, copywriter, designer, digital expert,
SEO,
and a whole heap of other
video.
Things. Makes a good cup of coffee. Don't forget that one. all sorts of stuff. And of course, there is no one that can do all those things well. You might be able to get people that can do some of them. It is very, very hard. So how do you find someone who's capable of getting their heads around what's needed? And very often, in professional services firm, there is nowhere else to go. They've got to be able to do as much as possible. Very, very difficult. This sort of really looks at the five skills that are vital to find. First of all, and it's a great way of putting it, hire marketing specialists who can be a generalist. In other words, brilliant copywriter, for example, great with content, but someone who's not intimidated about
editing a video,
other areas, editing it, yeah, getting just rolling up the sleeves and doing other things and keep learning. We've just got to keep learning. This is doesn't actually say that, but this is what really is clear from this article. You've just got to keep learning.
And from Image 7's point of view, we use it internally and we certainly use it with clients. Is the idea is not original to us, but the explaining it as hiring T-shaped people. So they've got a broad breadth of experience as generalists across the top with a deep level of expertise, which they can draw on and collaborate with others. The second one is hire data-driven marketers who are good with numbers. And I think this is interesting in the sense that he's making the point that as marketing moves from the old traditional look and feel of marketing much more into online content, that means statistics are coming thick and fast. And he's basically saying hire people who are predisposed towards being able to look at a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm. Next one's a good one, isn't it? Hire marketers who can sell.
I love this.
You know, it's so important. They may be selling an idea internally. They may be understanding the sales process or talking with the sales team internally if you have one or new business development. It's so important. They've got to understand who your personas are, who your customer personas are, who your clients are likely to be on a personal level, on a professional level. And so not only have they got to be able to understand the selling mindset, they've got to be able to sell themselves. Yeah, great point.
His next one is to hire marketing technologists. That sort of really ties into what we were talking about a little while ago with the first article. Hire marketers who love technology and who have the intellectual curiosity to learn the tools. I think that's really important. Somebody who's just not even looking at the whole MarTech space and really just hasn't even gone in and had a click around with all these new tools. Well, they're just not engaged enough to bring you the best value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And that brings in the fifth point, hire marketers who are biased toward action. So it's not just talking a good game. They've got to be very, very happy to roll up the sleeves and deliver, find solutions to problems that are inevitably happen and keep having that insatiable curiosity and appetite to push the boundaries, learn more and drive you and your firm.
But there are so many things that happen in the marketing sphere which are time sensitive. They're indeed often time critical as a profession. In professional services firms. So professional marketers need to be action-oriented, that bias towards action, simply to make things happen. Otherwise, we will end up in that endless loop of navel-gazing, trying to achieve, 100% perfection before we actually get something out in front of the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so to news item number three, and yes, we're on theme. Augmented reality, a technology whose time has come, that's with a question mark. So they're asking the question, and this is from the Content Marketing Association. The point they're making is that we're very used to seeing Apple pull off its party trick once again in reviving a technology that's never quite made its mark, and they think it could be augmented reality. Augmented reality is not particularly new. It was I love how they say this. As far back as 2010, augmented reality was positioned as a magic bullet for print-based consumer publications. And it was. They were the apps that you're able to hold up in front of the magazine or the newspaper, and it gave you access to related and additional content. Well, as far back as 2010. Yes, 7 years is a long time in the internet. But they think they point to Pokemon Go, the augmented reality powered game of a year or so ago. It was a craze. It was big, but I believe there are still big numbers playing it. It's just, it's not the ginormous craze that it was a little while ago. But all of these things have to happen before this whole augmented reality thing becomes a reality. There you go, just to mix it all up. But the, you know, the difference in augmented reality is that it augments the real world. So there is a lot more real world uses for AR as opposed to VR, which is virtual reality. In other words, it takes over your whole world. Augmented reality, you don't need fancy headsets and everything else. Scully, are you an AR man?
Well, I like the thought of it. I'm not sure how to practically bring it to bear, so to speak. But, you know, what's happening and the reason I'm confident that this is not just that little craze, you've got Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. They've been experimenting like mad with various lenses that they're able to offer users. And you might have seen them from little puppies' ears and dogs' noses on selfies through to much more sophisticated stuff. Well, Apple's now announced its AR kit, which is going to take experiments like that, Snapchat and Facebook, to a way higher level. So look, Samsung are not joining Apple. They're joining. Oh, no, there's
you heard it here, folks.
Samsung are getting on the bandwagon. That's perhaps a better way of putting it. And they're getting involved as well. And LG. So it's going to be in the next iteration of Apple phones and all the rest. So watch out. It's coming. So it's going to be easier to use and enhance your marketing innovation, product, and just service delivery. So get on board it, because you just get your head around what's going to happen. It's hard sometimes to even think how you can do it. But visually, really, it's just going to enhance hugely what you're able to deliver. So really interesting.
So there you go. The Content Marketing Association and Scully agree augmented reality is a technology whose time has arrived.
This is PSM. It's Insight Applied.
And each episode, we like to bring you one of the team members from Image 7 and introduce you. And today, Vanessa Reside, Account Manager, is talking to Scully.
Hi, Vanessa. Great to have you here. Now, we're going to talk about something very close to our hearts here at Image 7. And you are a particularly fine exponent of this skill, a writer extraordinaire, a blogger, a media dealer witherer. You do a wonderful job, but how do you prepare for, you know, how do you prepare when you've got to write content? That blank sheet of paper can be a terrible thing, can't it? I'm going to ask you some simple questions and you're going to just make every fear I've ever had of that sort of blank piece of paper go away. So number one, what are the most important things to consider when you're writing?
Okay, well, my list of important things, I'd say first and foremost, know your audience. So are they your clients? Are they prospective clients? Are they just people that are interested in your business? Make sure you know who they are so that you can tailor your information to their needs. And also, you know, have they chosen to find out about your business, or do you need to grab their attention in some specific way? So first up, know your audience. Next, I'd say understand your topic. So know what you're going to be talking about. Make sure you've done the research, you've spoken to the people involved, whether it be your current staff or you've reached out to others, more professionals in the field, and you know exactly what you're going to be writing about. Give your readers what they want. Finally, I'd say it's probably ensure your content is easy to read. So make sure that you've used short sentences, that your paragraphs aren't too long. And if there's a lot of content, make sure you use lists, bullet points, just make it easy for people to read.
Fantastic. So preparation is helpful. I can hear my mum now saying, do your homework. And that, yep, all the way to even these years on, you can't do it unless you've done it. So tell me the difference in your approach for writing for a blog versus writing for the media, a media release, for example.
Okay. Well, firstly, your audience is going to be really different. So writing for a blog, you've got people that have chosen to be there. They want to find out about your topic. So they probably or possibly already know a little bit about what you're going to be telling them. Whereas when writing for the media, you need to capture your audience's attention, often with an exciting headline or a photograph. You need to really pull them in because they haven't necessarily chosen to be reading that article. And make sure you make it interesting for a variety of audiences, just not just those that are interested specifically in your business.
Aha. And any tips so you can become an effective writer, not just a sort of someone who likes the thought of writing?
Oh, firstly, I'd say do a lot of reading. Read, and read some more. Read a variety of texts and genres, and make sure you're really up to scratch with your clients, with your topic, research papers, what's current in the news and the media.
Brilliant. So I'm going to give you the microphone one more time to just share some pearls of wisdom about writing. What have you got to tell us, Vanessa?
pearls of wisdom. Probably just a bit of a wrap up of what we've already discussed. Know your client, speak to your audience, make sure you're really reaching out to them, and write content that's easy to digest. Back up your information with research, make it relevant to the world today. And finally, I suppose, read, make time to write, and communicate with people everywhere in your life.
That is awesome. I am emboldened. Give me a pen, quickly.
This is PSM. It's insight applied.
And now it's time for our marketing example. And Scully has gone all technical this time, but again on the web. One day he'll emerge from the interwebs and maybe do something in the real world. But this week, these are the best designed, most useful architecture firm websites from Arch Daily. Now, Scully, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there where they analyze a whole bunch of architectural firms' websites. We're not going to go through all those. Everybody can have a look at them if they haven't already. But what did you take out of all of this?
Look, the simplicity of, you know, you can get as fancy as you want, but there's some simple tips that people really hate in those websites because they can slow things down. So if your site loads slowly, feels like it's broken, even if it isn't broken, because the user experience is so negative and people haven't got the time. They're frustrated. The flash is one of those
using
things.
Using flash
on there.
For graphics. Just shouldn't happen anymore.
No. Gosh, flash, that was the thing, wasn't it, way back when?
Well, it was when you couldn't do it any other way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes.
So, but there's other ones like poor quality or pixelated images are a total no-no now. It's got to be crisp. It's got to be clear. You know, when designs attempt to be too creative, you always see some of them trying to be too clever, too creative, and you have to guess where to click. Make it really obvious. It's a functional offering, your shop window of a website. Make it really easy to get to people the way they want to go.
I think one of the comments made in this article, websites that put personality before work. We're sure you're a lovely person or group of people, but social media is for personalities. Your own website should focus on what you do. And I think that is really good advice. But don't take that too far in the sense of your brand, your firm's brand has a personality and that personality should come out. And in the examples that they give in the article, and I really do, you know, for every professional service firm, not just architecture or any of the creative professions, go there, have a look at it and see the variations. I often find it really useful to hone in on one discipline or one business group and have a look at a range of how people are interpreting their websites. Doesn't matter whether you're in law, accounting, finance.
Architecture
or management consulting. Have a look. Well worth the while.
This is PSM. It's insight applied.
And so it is now time for a rant or a rave. And this is the time where we hand out a brickbat or a bouquet. And I think, Scully, I know why you've chosen this one, but if you go the wrong way, I'm going to throw you a brickbat. So is it a rant or is it a rave?
No, to me, it's a rave. I love it. I love being pretentious. And anyone that can incorporate the use of anthropology into modern day marketing is a genius. And of course, it is really applies. So Michael Henderson, who is a corporate anthropologist and director at Cultures at Work in Marketing Magazine, has gone into great depths to explain how anthropology can help you unlock not just any, but dazzling marketing ideas. Now, I always thought when I was at uni 150 years ago, that anthropology was all about the culture of lost tribes in the Amazon or whatever it is. But actually, it's spot on. It is the word of the moment because it's all about understanding people, their behavior, human culture, which is exactly what we need to do now as marketers because we need to know what makes them tick. We need to know how, as a firm, we can appeal to them, approach to them, talk to them, create content that's going to really resonate. So unless you're an anthropologist, as well as all of those other marketing technology skills that you need to have, you're going nowhere. It's a clever argument, but really just brings into focus, ultimately, that it's about this understanding of people. It's not so much about what is seen, but what people think about when they see content, when they see what it is you're creating. So it's understanding the mentality, the psychology of your client, potential client, because in any activity, it's driven by one or, you know, really one of three motivators, the desire to control, to relate, or to develop. And so the appliance of these anthropological intellectual skills and applying them to marketing makes perfect sense. You know what? I think we're all anthropologists as well as everything else we have to understand. But yeah, clever article. What do you reckon?
I'm with you. I just love this. I wish I was an anthropologist because I think I could really enjoy watching people and understanding what the problems are. And to a degree, it's what marketers do. But this is the deep level, the deep understanding. In fact, there's a quote there from Harvard Business School Professor Dorothy Leonard, who refers to it as deep smarts. And each one of these articles that we come across, there's usually one little quote or paragraph. This is it for me. It says, anthropologists understand that the human brain views brands in a similar manner to how it views people. Brands are attributed with anthropomorphic qualities, and in particular, are evaluated through the two key filters of capability and approachability. You know, put a few different words in there and we've just talked marketing. So I reckon that's really wonderful. It's a very short read, but well worth it for anybody who's really looking for deeper insights into their client base.
This is PSM. It's Insight Applied.
And that pretty much brings us to the end of episode 99 of PSM. Next episode is episode 100. Insert, hey. Yeah, insert roaring crowd. So if you're listening from the Image 7 website, why not pop over now to your favourite podcast player? You can subscribe for your fortnightly dose. Listening from the Image 7 website, why not pop over now to your favourite podcast player and subscribe for your fortnightly dose of professional services marketing goodness. Search for PSM, Professional Services Marketing, and you'll find us there. Now, if you've got any questions, comments, marketing examples, or a rant or rave of your own, you can email us psm@image7.com.au. And that is it for this episode of PSM. From Andrew and myself, who doesn't look like, you know, Andrew doesn't look 100 episodes old at all. Bye for now, and we will see you on episode 100.
Goodbye.